The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, tokers and tokettes, welcome to the show. It is Friday, finally, May 27, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And better than that, it's got to be a three-day Memorial Day weekend somewhere in the United States. That's good to hear. You notice I'm celebrating the Memorial Day weekend with a new Jay Garcia tie, right? Jerry Garcia had to bring that out, a little red, white, and blue. Also joining us here in the studio is the engineer, the pirate Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
John's about ready to stick up a bank. He's got his bandana on, ready to go, jump on the horse, and rob a train.
That's how I roll, man. I guess so.
What's your plans for the weekend, my man?
I'm going to go down to the garden and do some trimming.
Ah, trimming.
Yes,
what
gonna,
fun.
Yeah,
sticky fingers.
Very sticky
green
fingers.
Buds. What do you got growing down there? What are you bringing back?
Third Dimension, some more Mumbles, obviously, and I think some Chernobyl.
Chernobyl?
Chernobyl.
You know, speaking of Chernobyl, you know they used hemp at Chernobyl to help soak up and leach the toxins and radioactivity from the soil.
They sure did.
Yet another thing cannabis can do. Is there nothing you cannot do? Also joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Grass, Astoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday, Carrie. What is the weekend looking like for you up there in the tourist Mecca?
Well, I've got a little mix of I got to do a couple hours at work, and I have a plan to go down and get a little beach time in, and we've got some home projects we got to finish up.
All right.
Lots of stuff.
Hey, I want to let folks know, too, speaking of the Memorial Day weekend, we take all the federal holidays off here at Normal, so there will be no show on Monday. Also, tonight, the network goes down at 8 o'clock Pacific. No Ganja John show, no Irie Island Hour. We're taking the network down at 8 so we can begin the installation of the Libramator. That's right. The Libramator is coming. We've got this software downloaded. It is awesome. I can't wait for us to start using it. On today's show, though, let's get to it. Cannabis Carrie brings us the hemp headlines. What do we got in the news today?
Well, today we're going to cover a warning to tourists traveling abroad. Also, a Canadian couple that is suing their province. The Dutch, they're back in the news today going after marijuana tourists, and the annual Forest Service warning. All that on today's Hemp Headlines.
All right, a little international flavor here for today's show. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher from Herb Age Designs will be calling in. He's got some great music for us today from Black Tusk called Red Eyes, Black Something. I can't remember the exact title. We'll get that on there for
you. Red Eyes, Black Skies.
That's it. Red Eyes, Black Skies. So I'm looking forward to some rock from Herb Thrasher there. And then at half past the hour, it's the fourth Friday of the month. And you know what that means, folks.
Woo.
It's time for Cultivator's Corner with High Times Magazine's Danny Danko, the author of the High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains. You can call in live at 971-533-7111 and ask your cultivation questions from one of America's greatest experts on marijuana cultivation. Danny Danko will be here answering your questions. You can also send him in via the chat if you're a little shy. We'll be glad to get the questions in that way. Stay tuned. We're coming back with your Hemp Headlines. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theater. I'm your host, Leonard Pimpf-Garnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pimpf-Garnell III.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A case I want to highlight today. As older Americans are introduced or reintroduced to cannabis as a medical treatment, we need to remind them that it is still illegal in most places. This week, 59-year-old Edith Wolfe of California pleaded guilty in Bermuda to importing marijuana on May 17th. She arrived in Bermuda last week for a vacation, and when she got off the commercial airline from New York at 8:30 that evening, she cleared immigration, but then was selected for a secondary inspection. During the search, an officer opened up one of her three suitcases and found a plastic bag with one joint and her toiletry items. When the officer asked her what it was, she told him marijuana. Now the officer searched all of her bags and came up with 14 joints in total in her luggage that she says she smokes once a day for her vertigo and hearing condition called Meniere's disease. In her court case this week, her lawyer argued that she is from California and that seems to have the right approach when it comes to the legality of marijuana in certain instances. He explained to the court that in California, the cannabis is prescribed to treat her disease. Ms. Wolfe gave the magistrate a copy of her medical certificate with her illness described and her recommendation to use medical marijuana. The judge pointed out that in California, people can also get a firearms license and even walk around with their weapons. But if you brought a gun to Bermuda, you would be in trouble just the same. Before the ruling, her lawyer urged the judge to put this particular lady in a different category than the person who just shows up for a weekend trip to smoke a lot of weed. The judge saw the situation a bit differently and told her before her sentencing that she must be aware of the attitude of the courts when it comes to drugs if she's going to visit Bermuda. The lawyer said that a fine only, and it shouldn't be exuberant, is the appropriate action to take on this visitor with a pre-existing medical condition. The judge gave the woman 30 days in jail along with a $3,000 fine, and she was taken into custody as soon as the judgment was read.
Well, you know, yeah, you've got to expect that. And California patients and patients everywhere, you got to understand that there's only a few places you can go. The only states that have reciprocity for your medical marijuana cards are the M states, Michigan, Montana, and Maine, and Rhode Island and Arizona. Those five, and I think, does Delaware?
USVINA MALGO BROKDONG BARRIA.
There we go. That's the island you want to go to. The United States Virgin Islands. To hell with Bermuda. That's a British territory anyway. You don't need a passport. Go to the United States Virgin Islands. Now, it's not legal there yet, But we got a great Normal chapter there that's trying to make it legal, and you can get involved with them if you want to help. They've got a grand vision to legalize marijuana on the United States Virgin Islands, at least medically to start. And they want to make a medical bill that has reciprocity, so all the patients in all the 16 medical marijuana states could fly to the U.S. Virgin Islands, and there's no passport required to go to USVI, and be able to enjoy their medical marijuana there on the islands. What a great way to get the tourist dollars flowing to the USVI and away from Bermuda. Wouldn't that send quite a message if in those Caribbean islands down there, you got one that has a great increase in their tourism revenue thanks to being a medical marijuana friendly island? What that might do for some of the other islands there, the other island nations, would be an amazing thing. So again, usvinormal.org is the place to check out. Now, as far as this judge in this Bermuda case, couple things I got to mention. Him making the analogy that you could get a firearm in California and carry it around, but you couldn't in Bermuda, and comparing that to a patient who's using their medicine on Bermuda is offensive. The idea of the firearm is something that could harm someone else. The idea of using their medicine is something that makes them feel better, that treats their medical condition. It's a sad and sick analogy. And the other thing, when I was reading this story, in his ruling, the judge pointed out that there was a similar court ruling with respect to a religious user of cannabis who wanted to claim an exemption from the fine and the 30 days, and he ruled against them, and therefore he also had to rule against this lady who was using medical marijuana. Again, another poor analogy. Religion is a choice. Medical marijuana is not for this person. Now, she did break the law, and it's important for patients to understand the law and know where they could get in trouble, and Bermuda apparently is one of those places, so send your money to the USVI.
A couple in Nova Scotia, Canada, have filed a lawsuit to try and get the province to pay for the cost of growing their medical marijuana, since they are both disabled and unable to get much income. The husband and the wife both live with disabilities and are on income assistance. They both have licenses from Health Canada to grow medical marijuana for their own use, and they are allowed to keep 25 plants. But the man tells the CBC that they are often out of medication and can't keep up on the amount that they need to grow because of their financial situation. They have taken their case to the Nova Scotia Supreme Court to force the province to set up a one-time fee of $2,500 to get the supplies they need and an additional $100 every 3 months for chemicals and other supplies. So far, the Department of Community Service has spent $200,000 fighting their request. He says that goes to show you that there is something wrong with the system, that they are willing to spend so much to keep two disabled people from getting medication that makes their lives better. They're headed to court in October.
Man, another sad case here. And we got to start, you know, treating these people with a little bit more respect. You know, the laws are different everywhere we go, but I think everyone, you know, the large majorities all over this country and all over the world are recognizing that medical marijuana is legitimate, right? I think when it first came out, a lot of people thought, oh, well, you know, if you're dying, I guess we can let you get high. But that's the old days. Now people understand that, no, it's not just about, you know, providing some euphoria to some people who are dying. It is actual medicine. It does actually relieve pain and help inflammation and quell spasms and seizures and end nausea and stave off Alzheimer's disease and all the amazing things. You know, it kills infections. It targets cancer cells. There's so much amazing medicine behind this plant. And we get support, you know, up in the 70s and 80%, no matter where we ask these questions. So it's time that, even if the laws in your particular area haven't changed, it's time for these prosecutors to start treating these people with a little more respect and really understanding that this is a medical issue.
Well, as we continue here on International Friday, the Dutch cabinet says that it is going ahead with their plans to force people wishing to purchase cannabis from one of the country's famed coffee shops to first obtain an official pass. Another move to further curtail tourists from coming just to get cannabis. Conservative Prime Minister Mark Rutte says that he plans to begin the controversial program later this year, and it will begin in the country's south, an area popular with French and German buyers. He then says that he will tackle Amsterdam's famous cafes later in his term. Justice Ministry spokesman Wim van der Wiegen said that the Supreme Court must still rule on whether foreigners can be blocked entirely from patronizing the shops. The plan will allow the cafes to issue only 1,500 permits in all, forcing the shop owners to choose between higher tourist dollars or their more regular customers. We'll keep you posted.
Well, all right. So they want to have passes here for people to purchase, and I don't know that I'm necessarily so upset about that. I mean, I can't really complain about the notion of going to, you know, being a visitor to someone's country and, you know, paying a nominal fee, just a small fee to get a pass to go enjoy cannabis in a coffee shop and not be harassed and experience freedom. I don't see that that's necessarily too bad of a thing. I'd be interested to hear from people who are living there, people who've been to Amsterdam and who've enjoyed Amsterdam, and maybe we'll talk to Danny Danko about this, because I know he goes to Amsterdam every year for the Cup, about what the situation really is. We hear so much of scaremongering from our federal government about, the Dutch government, they're really cracking down on the coffee shops, and there's a lot of conservatives in the Dutch government as well who would like to crack down on these, but what do the people really think about this? Do they really enjoy the coffee shops in their neighborhood? Is there this so-called, you know, drug tourism that's causing any sort of measurable problems? We'll keep you posted on this. We'll get more information on this and see if we can get some Dutch visitors on our show, too, to give you the lowdown on what's really happening in the Netherlands.
Now we come back to the States. The annual scare American families heading out to go camping message is alive and well this year. The U.S. Forest Service, on the eve of Memorial Day weekend, wants to remind families, hikers, and campers to be wary of suspicious activities in our national forests. They released a statement telling people that marijuana growers seek out isolated patches of public land to set up clandestine growing operations, often protected by gun-toting criminals. They advise people, if they stumble upon a marijuana growing operation, to leave as quickly and quietly as possible and never to engage growers because they are, quote, extremely dangerous people. They would, however, like you to mark the location with a GPS if you have one, or try to remember the location and detailed landmarks to report to authorities when you are safely away from the actual grow site. The Forest Service said to look for clues that you may have encountered a grow site, like people loitering in unusual places or carrying rifles out of hunting season. And any items lying around, like food, fertilizer, weapons, garbage, rat poison, and or dead animals, and propane tanks that they use to avoid the detection of smoke from a campfire. There is a helpful guide that tells you that sometimes marijuana smells like a skunk on hot days. So from our National Forest Service, be afraid, people. Be very afraid.
Yeah, be very afraid. Run as fast as you can. Get away when you can. The terrible Forest Service warnings are out there. And, you know, there also may be Canadian guard bears.
That's,
you never
very
know. There could be some Canadian guard bears out there, too, so you got to be careful. No, look, folks, I love how they want to say, oh, be worried about the dangerous growers, but make sure you narc them out to us, you know, get the GPS location and come right in and tell us where they're at. No, man, if I find the guys growing out there, I think I'm just going to leave them alone, let them harvest that so it can eventually make its way back to us.
I've actually found them before, and, you know, I actually saw the guys. I was in the National Forest, walking through National Forest. I just put my hands up. I said, I'm not a cop.
Yeah.
And I just started talking to them. They were nice guys. I said, if you want to take me out of here, I have no idea where I am.
Yeah.
So
no GPS, no cell phone.
Nope.
I'm nobody. Yeah, and you know, we always point out the fact that there wouldn't be these grows happening clandestinely out there in the national forests if we were allowed to grow them out in the open, in commercial grows, in personal grows, home grows. You know, hiking back into the back areas of the woods is really kind of a pain in the ass if you're trying to grow weed, man, and trying to keep all the deer off it and all the critters off it. You know, it's, you know, you'd much rather have it in a nice, open, fenced, farmed, you know, area where it's close to a 7-Eleven or something. You get a big gulp down then. I mean, it sucks being up there in the forest. These guys camped out with their propane stoves, eating top ramen over the...
Usually, you know, climbing up a really steep hill to get people to not follow you, and it's not fun.
Yeah. And part of that, all of that effort that they have to do to, you know, go to those lengths to grow it, mm-hmm. well, that gets passed on to the consumer as well. You know, we end up paying the $300 an ounce for this stuff because of all the headaches and hassles they have to go through. And no one needs to be endangered. I'm not a big fan of these outdoor clandestine national park grows. I think, you know, there is a danger situation in that the cops are bringing the danger, Right. You know, the cops bring the danger. You know, guys are coming after you growing something. They got guns and body armor, you know, and then there's rippers too. You know, it's worth so much that you have other people that might come out there and rip off the crop. We could get rid of all this danger and make our national forests a lot safer, a lot more environmentally friendly by legalizing marijuana. But they just can't wrap their head around that. They will accept any amount of danger, damage, cost, money, effort that in order for them to fulfill their mission to stop people from enjoying themselves with a plant.
Oh, we need to talk about this more now or two.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's snap into some Slim Jims.
Snap into a Slim Jim! We got Slim Jims for Macho Man Savage. He stopped the rapture single-handedly. Thanks a lot.
All by himself.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, you know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. Our own man, Made of Metal. It's Herb Thrasher from Herb Age Designs. You know him as the man made of metal, but I know him as the guy who runs the American Idol pool. So what do you think about the Idol finale and Judas Priest?
Judas Priest, man, made it to the big time show on the big time TV. You know, that was a big victory for metalheads all across the world.
I loved it.
You know?
I loved it.
That was
awesome.
Huge, man. Yeah, and they gave, you know, you can tell if they didn't sit Judas Priest down and say, okay, guys, you know, will you please act like this? You can tell that they just said, you guys go out there and rock, and they just freaking rock.
Yeah, I loved it. That was good
and
stuff.
And you got to give James Durbin credit for standing up for the metalhead, just like we stand up for the Colin Podheads out there. You know, he's out there standing up for the metalhead, and see what happens when you do.
That's right.
Make it to the big stage.
And you know, he made it to, he made it to number four. Daughtry made it to number four. Turned out okay for Daughtry.
See, you know, there's rock going on out there in the world. So, yeah, it's a good thing. How are you guys doing for Memorial Day? What's going on this weekend? Are you having a party?
John's headed down to the gardens down in Roseburg.
He's going to trim.
Yep, yeah, I'll be stuck here in the studio building the Libramator, getting our new software up online for the network. And I imagine you've got to get ready for a festival somewhere.
Nah, we've got the next couple weeks off. We're finalizing art now. We're going to go to print here in a couple weeks and have stuff ready for the end of June, early July. So we're going to be finalizing that stuff. And maybe if I get a break, I'll come by and to have a hit or something.
Yeah, bring it into the studio. We'll do a little show and tell. It'll be fun.
Yeah, you know what? I was planning on doing that. When we do it, we'll have a good giveaway or something. We'll come up with something cool. And give away some things right there from the studio that day when we get it all in.
All right. Well, we've got this Memorial Day weekend to get rocking here, so let's get to it. What's the rock today?
Right on. So, we've got some heavy-hitting Southern boys this time, and I'm very proud. You know, I'm always proud to bring the Southern boys on. And so Black Tusk from Relapse Records is a three-piece metal band from Savannah, Georgia, formed in 2005. The Savannah scene has produced so many great bands, you'd be excused for thinking the sludge is in the water there. But there's no excuse for overlooking Black Tusk. The band's sophomore release and first for Relapse Records rips into you with locomotive ripping and powerful percussion, creating a furious display that incorporates the fury of punk and the precision of thrash metal. If Taste the Sin is wrong, you won't want to be right. So the song Red Eyes, Black Skies, in fact, when I saw this title, guys, it was like, man, that song, that title right there reminds me of smoking weed with Ganja John. Immediately, you start getting red eyes, and then the sky just turns black from all the smoke. And I was like, yes!
Like a volcano blocking out the sun. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a no-holds-barred, rip-heavy, fast, and straight-to-the-joint song that will fill your clenched fists full of Black Tusk. And so you can check these guys out. They're out there on the internet, blacktuskterror.com, myspace.com/blacktusk, and they're also on Twitter, Black Tusk Band. So, Stashers, check out Black Tusk with your red eyes blazing as we fly high through the black skies to defeat prohibition. Turn it up. Have a Memorial Day. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Rock on.
Rock on. This is Black Tusk, Red Eyes, Black Skies.
Yeah.
blog by surfing to stash.normal.org.
Ooh,
and
yeah!
And then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gamel.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never used marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine. Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
See, I want to tell y'all where a macho man is coming from.
We've been eating too many Slim Jims over here, Danny. How you doing?
It's a funky plant with vodka.
Danny Danko, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, glad to have you. We've been having too many Slim Jims here.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah. we've got the Randy Macho Man Savage thing going here.
I'm going to get ya. World War III happens in just a few seconds.
So there we go. Crazy here as we get into Memorial Day weekend. How are things for you out in the East Coast?
Things are great. We're still struggling and fighting for our cannabis freedoms here, of course, but beautiful weather, and we just recently had a nice protest here in New York City about the racial disparity of the laws and the massive amount of arrests that we have here in New York that Harry Levine brought to light in his report.
Yeah, 50,000 arrests every year. New York City is the arrest capital of the world. More people arrested in New York City than anywhere else. I mean, China even. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. It's a policy that Giuliani put together and instilled, and Bloomberg hasn't had the guts to tell them to stop. And I mean, really, especially a guy like him who's admitted to smoking marijuana and enjoying it, he really should step up for the citizens of New York City and tell them to lay off.
Yeah, and I believe there's a bill being crafted at the Assembly right now that would further protect people. New York is decrim. The state is decrim, of course. You can possess up to, I think, an ounce, and it's only a ticket. But, of course, the cops in New York City, they play tricks. They force you, convince people to take it out of their pocket, and then they call that public consumption. So this new bill, I guess, would make it more clear that you're not supposed to, be busting people like that. We hope it goes forward.
Yeah, and I believe it's a bipartisan bill, which is important with our screwy politicians.
Yeah. Hey, also, before we start taking questions from folks, and we are taking questions on the phone at 971-533-7111, or you can do so through our chat line right now. But before we get to that, we got to mention the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup coming up here next month, end of June. And any new developments, any announcement of musical guests or anything that we need to know?
We are working on musical guests right now. I'm pretty sure we have Cottonmouth Kings for sure on that Saturday night, the 20th. The event is the 25th and 26th, and we have a really nice venue, much larger than last year's venue.
Good.
It's called the Concourse. Yeah, it's called the Concourse, and we're going to have a Friday night party, a nice skateboard party with like a half pipe and stuff, and people can get into that party for free and get their wristbands for Saturday and Sunday. And so we're hoping we can ease some of the traffic getting in for the people coming in Saturday by having pre-registration Friday night. And we're just really excited about it. We've got great people attending, a tremendous amount of booths and sponsors, and it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, we'll be there with the whole Normal Show Live crew, myself, Ganja John, Cannabis Carrie, Coleco the intern. We'll be there along with Rolla J. He'll be rolling on in to help us out as well, and should be a really good time. We'll be streaming it live. We still got to work out all the internet setup stuff. Remind me, Danny, to talk to whoever I need to talk to get the internet set up there, but we hope to be streaming it live there for the whole event. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. MedCanCup.com, by the way. If you're looking for the website and you need to get more information, MedCanCup.com. All right, let's get to
it. If you get your tickets in advance, it's going to be a lot easier than trying to pay cash at the door.
Yeah, definitely. Get them in advance if you can. All right, let's get to our Cultivator's Corner here and start getting some questions from our chatters. Free Texas 2012 is asking, when re-vegging a female plant, is there anything special you need to do for that plant?
I didn't see anything or hear anything. When re-vegging, I would say you really you need to put it under vegging light, which would be 18 hours or more per day. At that point, you just want to water it. You don't need to give it a lot of nutrient because there's not a lot of growth on the plant to support it. You've only left a few leaves and stems and stuff for it to regenerate, so you really just need to keep it alive until it's able to put out some new shoots. And then once those new shoots come out, you can start giving it a mild vegetative nutrient solution, higher in nitrogen, because you're really going to want to start growing leaves and shoots and stuff and convince the plant that it's no longer flowering at that point.
Okay. We have an anonymous question that asks, I have a female of unknown ancestry. Apparently, it says bag seed here, so I managed to just, they got a bag and there was a seed in it, and I'm going to plant it and see what happens. And they say, it's in week 6 of bloom. It is lush, green, and beautiful. Some trichomes, but not frosty like I see in the seed selling sites. Should I be worried?
Did they say week 6?
Yeah, week 6 of bloom. And seeing some trichomes, but not seeing the frostiness like you'd see, in the nice high-quality pictures we get in High Times.
It could be a factor of that being a bag seed. It could just be sort of, middle-of-the-road sort of buff genetics or something that got a little muddy from being the product of a hermaphrodite. But it could also just be that it didn't get enough light didn't have as productive of a flowering period as far as being able to take in nutrients, or maybe has had some overwatering or underwatering issues, because resin production, while it's inherently genetic, also is a factor of the environment that you provide for your plant. My first inclination would be to think that it's just maybe it's either a longer flowering sativa that's going to take a longer period of time to start developing trichomes, or it's just a bunk seed.
Mm. Okay. Our next question comes from Stone Kidney. He says, Danny, have you seen any of the entries for the San Francisco Cannabis Cup yet, and what are you looking forward to most when you're there this year?
No, I haven't seen any of the entries yet. Hey, what's up, Kidney? We got to meet actually in Denver, I believe. Mm-hmm. I did not, you know, we don't receive those until we make it over there about a week before the event. This time I'm helping out with the judging of indicas, so, you know, I'm pretty interested in that. Usually I pick sativas, and this time I picked indicas primarily just to have, you know, something different, a different type of experience, and also because I think judging indicas might be a little bit easier than judging sativas in a way, because you know, there's sort of fewer factors really to determine what makes it great in a way. Potency wise, it's like you can't be fooled by thinking maybe this is a sativa, although in the sativa category that's ultimately more possible that somebody can sneak an indica in, but I don't see that happening so much with the indica category. So I'm looking forward to just, you know, judging the best part on the table in a way, you know, rather than determining if this is the best sativa.
Mm-hmm. So you're flying out there like a week before to do the judging. So how many strains do you end up having to judge? How many do you do per day? Do you space them out any? Yeah. I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a sort of a committee does that. I mean, I would be in charge of sort of the indica judging, and we've got people like Debbie Goldsberry, and we've had Jorge Cervantes or Valerie Cook and Mike Corral, and, you know, people who are activists who also know their cannabis that come in and do the judging. But basically, it's somewhere between 25 and 40 varieties. We try not to go over 40 because it makes it a lot harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, you space it out so, hey, if you've got, you know, 7 or 8 days, you know, you can do either you can do 5 or 6 a day. I mean, what I like to do is sort of narrow it down every day to a smaller group and then, you know, pretty much try to smoke as many of them as possible at all times. And just keep narrowing that down. And, you know, very quickly you can choose a few just that you know aren't going to make the grade for whatever reason. And so for me, it's a process of whittling it down until I have, you know, about maybe 7 or 8 contenders. And then those last few days is just a real kind of like elimination process for those.
All right.
Everybody has their own way, and we actually have forms and stuff that you fill out, and we're even having T-Pill Lab do the testing for THC and CBD and CBN and all those things. Yeah, so that factors into the judging as well. So it's part, you know, aesthetic and people driven, and part just scientific and numbers driven.
Ooh, yeah! Dig it!
Well, you dig it. We absolutely dig it. That sounds great.
I'm so excited for this event. My stomach hurts right now. I got butterflies. I'm so stoked.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get our next question here from Yellowana Cake, who wants to know, can you discuss the 12-to-1 lighting technique and whether or not you recommend it for cannabis?
12-to-1 technique? I'm not sure.
Yeah, she just wrote
you have the light
12-1. I don't know what that is.
I would have to ask her to expand on that a little bit. She may mean where people have like a 12-hour on, 1-hour off cycle or something.
Yeah, the herbal supplements confirming that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one for all of those like weird time cycles. I think it's enough to just have a vegging time and a flowering time, and so messing with the cycles too much, I think, is like overthinking the process.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you can just, the easiest way to trigger a plant is to have it be 18 or 20 hours in veg, and then, you know, overnight turn to 12-12, because the plant isn't going to wonder, hey, are the days getting slower, you know, the days getting shorter. It's going to know within several days that, hey, days are shorter and I better flower to accommodate for that. And so I think it sort of kicks it into gear in that way. And then once you're flowering, I think, you know, at that point, you just go 12-12 to the end, you know.
Yeah.
Some people like to do 2 or 3 hours of darkness at the end, you know, for their personal reasons. That I don't know if that hurts or helps or what, but, you know, I've never done the side-by-side testing. I guess that's another something we can try to do.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, side-by-side, same grow, same strains, and then just put 3 of them in the dark for you know, 3 nights or whatever, and leave the other ones in light.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, might as well give it a shot. All right. Next question comes from Homer 371. First of all, he asked a question if there will be a meet and greet at the MedCan Cup, and he was asking about me, and I'm like, really? I'll be there all day.
Just walk up and say hi.
Yeah, it's always a meet and greet as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be doing a book signing, I'm sure. I'm doing a growth seminar at some point. I'll probably do a book signing right after that. And I'll be at the booth. I'll be walking around. You know, the cool getting the judging done a little bit earlier is that we get to hang out and you know, enjoy the event itself. So,
yeah.
Whereas in Amsterdam, you're kind of like sequestered away during that time.
Yeah.
Everybody's having fun. And not that it's not fun, but you know, everybody's enjoying themselves. You know, going from coffee shop to coffee shop, and you're just smoking. Strain after strain.
Yeah. Hey, I want to make sure, you know, Homer, we appreciate the compliment, but everybody's laid back, man. Just come up, say hi. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But hey, he's also got a question on growing here we want to make sure I get to. Is it true that the high from an outdoor grown plant lasts longer than an indoor grown plant? I never heard that.
You know, that's really subjective to the strain, but the same strain grown indoors or outdoors, really the highs should be the same. I guess the reason sometimes, you know, people get that idea is that it's, you know, it's grown, well, typically outdoors has more of a likelihood of being organic, and, you know, it's grown with the sun, it's not grown under artificial lighting. So, you know, that's really the ultimate spectrum of what you would want. So, you know, I think what happens is, you know, indoor, if you don't dial it in perfectly, there's going to be something lacking. But outdoor, you really get the full benefits of the full spectrum, and it's a lot harder to mess that up,
yeah.
Basically. And so, and, you know, I mean, it's sun, it's light energy. That's natural, that passes into the plant that creates those, you know, carbons and sugars and things that, you know, becomes the plant. So if you're using artificial lighting, there's going to be a certain amount of artificial, you know, energy that's within that. And the plant, you know, ultimately the plant wants to grow outdoors. The whole indoor thing is basically just a symptom of prohibition. So
yeah.
Now ultimately, we're in full sun or greenhouses. We don't need to have that, you know, carbon footprint that we have when we grow indoors. That's, you know, that's fully placed upon us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, let's use the energy that's free out there. You know, the sun, that's how that plant evolved.
Yeah.
It'd be the best mm-hmm. thing for it. We'll get that. We'll get it legalized.
And that gives you a negative carbon footprint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sucking the carbon dioxide out of the air. That's what we need in this global climate change environment we're in right now. It's such a crime, you know, such a crime to the planet that we make illegal the production and cultivation of something that could be so beneficial on an environmental perspective. But, you know that. We all know that.
Yeah.
All right,
well, also on that note, I'd also like to mention that our hearts go out to of everyone in Joplin, including Kelly Maddie and his family and all the people there from Joplin Normal who are just, like, suffering from this immense tragedy in their town and have been incredible activists over a lot of years and raised money for a lot of people. So I would encourage people to do whatever they can to help them out.
Yeah.
They lost their homes and they're just devastated.
Yeah, and you can help out by going to TulsaNormal.org/tornado. Garrett Overstreet from Tulsa Normal. And Tulsa's pretty close to Joplin, you know, like an hour drive away. So he's helping out them, of course, because they don't have, you know, web access or computers really at this point. So he's helping them out, and you can donate via PayPal to help them out. We've made a donation on behalf of the show. I know just about everybody who's listening that can donate has, but we just encourage you once again to TulsaNormal.org/tornado. Okay, let's get some more questions here while we round out this hour of the show. And again, we're speaking with Danny Danko, High Times Senior Cultivation Editor. Our next question is, what is the best way to get rid of my white powdery mildew problem? It isn't too bad, but so far I just keep wiping it off.
Yeah, powdery mildew is it's a big issue. It's a tough problem, and it's pretty difficult to wipe it off. And when you're wiping it off, you might actually be spreading it to other parts of your garden or leaf. Some people like to use a sulfur burner, which actually it's like a little gadget that you burn sulfur into the air and change pH on the surface of the leaves to try to discourage powdery mildew. There's also some sprays, a lot of antifungal type of sprays that you can use to try to discourage powdery mildew, fungicides of various nature that come in spray bottles that you can use. Really, the idea is also to keep the air that you bring into your grow room clean and try not to have a lot of stagnant air or, really humid conditions that would encourage mold and the pests and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Great question here. Our next question comes up anonymously. What is the best way to start your plants from seeds? I bought 10 very expensive seeds, and I want to give them the best chance. They are not feminized seeds. What do they got to do to give them the best chance?
I'm of the opinion that the best thing to do is just to plant them into the medium of your choice. If it's going to be like a soil mix, you just get a nice small cup, 12-ounce cup or 16-ounce cup, fill it with your mix, moisten the mix, make sure it's, pH of 6.0 to 6.5 or so, and then just pop it in about half an inch deep, cover it up, keep it moist and under light, and, as long as the seeds that you bought have good germination rates, you should get at least 9, hopefully 10 of them will pop. Hey, I'm on the radio. So, I would plant it directly into the medium. Some people like to use, paper towels or petri dishes or whatever. I think it's the taproot is going to have a better chance of really settling in and taking hold of your medium if it's already in that medium when it starts its life.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. all right. Next question, anonymous question. This one's from Herbal Supplement. When you're judging on these cannabis cups, do you take notes on how the sample burns? And if so, what are you looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. Burnability is one of the major factors. Obviously potency is a factor, flavor, odor, but burnability is a major factor. And we check that in a number of different ways. We'll grind the bud up and roll it into joints, and we'll see how those joints burn. If they burn to a clean white ash, and if they burn, basically evenly and without having to keep relighting, the joint over and over, that's a pretty good sign that it's been properly flushed. We definitely take notes on burnability. One other thing we do is we have these charcoals that we use sometimes for the concentrate testing, and we'll just drop a bud onto the charcoal and watch how it burns. If it burns like a piece of coal, then either there's too much moisture in there, or it wasn't flushed out of all the salt and metals and things that could be present. And you can even the color of the smoke that comes off, if it's a dark blue rather than just a nice white to light blue. So there's a number of factors that we use to determine burnability, and I honestly consider it a major factor because you're not just judging the breeder of the strain, you're judging the grower as well. This is medicine for patients, and it's really got to burn right if it's going to be.
Oh no! Did we lose you, Danny? Are you still there?
We did.
Oh, still there.
Yeah,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we just had it yep. Static out for a second. Okay, this next one here, and we've got time for maybe this one more question here. My clones are only surviving at about a 30% rate. I use dip root hormone, put them in different kinds of medium, rock wool cubes, cotton cubes, Roto-Rooter, and I get the same lousy clone survival rate. So what advice do you have?
Well, the two most important things with cloning is humidity and warmth. So if clones are kept nice and humid, with the cut end, the actual part that you cut always has to remain moist and humid at that, but also even point plant is not taking in moisture through the root. It's only coming in through the cut end and through the leaves. So it's really got to be a very moist environment. So I would recommend a plastic dome of some sort on top of whatever it is that you're using as your cloning tray, as well as a heat mat that you can buy, very cheap, that just plugs in, and you can put that underneath the tray, and it'll keep the, because water can get very cold quickly, even room temperature is too cold for proper cloning. So you really do want to keep that water and that like bottom layer of your cloning tray nice and warm, and you'll have a much better germination rate if you just do those two things, the clear lid and the heat mat.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have here for our Cultivator's Corner with Danny Danko from High Times Magazine. And before we let you go, we always give you the last word here to, you know, give your spread your wisdom to our listeners at large. And any words of advice or things you want to mention as we wound out this Memorial Day weekend?
You know, all I would say is, you know, if you're in the Bay Area or willing to travel to that area, you should check out our event June 25th and 26th. As far as right now, it's a perfect time to plant seeds, no matter where you are, really. And even if they're just, you know, bunk seeds from bags that you got or whatever, if you just put them in some funny strategic places in the world, you'd be surprised, you know, how many will survive. And it's just that now it's planting season, or just basically the end of planting season. So if that's what's on your mind, get it done in the near future. And other than that, you know, everybody enjoy their Memorial Day weekend, and
all right,
you know, continue the fight for cannabis freedom.
And how's your little boy?
He's great. You know, he just had his first birthday on the 13th, and you know, he's basically walking and, you know, making all kinds of sounds like words, and it's very fun to be around, and very exciting to just watch him get bigger and grow.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you, and the best to you and your family. We'll see you next month in San Francisco at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Check it out at medcancup.com. Also, of course, check out hightimes.com, and you can get the print or electronic version of High Times. And don't forget the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, which is also available at finer newsstands near you. Danny Danko, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next month.
All right, thanks, Russ. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, John.
We'll see you later, man. And I am excited for the San Francisco Cup. I cannot wait.
I know. It's going to be a good time. We look forward to it. And that's all the time we have here at Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. We're taking the three-day weekend. And remember, the Normal Network goes off the air tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific so we can install the new LibraMater software. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. We'll talk to you next week. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
I've been there before. I've been to the top of the mountain. And I am Macho King.
We love the earth. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.